This is Aaron Hart filling in. We're going to bring you Barack Obama's speech a little later in the show. Meantime, we're going to check in with Andrew Ferguson, a longtime Aaron Hart Show listener who is at the event covering photography for the Ore Digger at Colorado School of Mines. Hi, Andrew. What's going on?
Well, right now we have a woman who reached with the Jefferson office for Barack Obama, and she's doing a speech right now. We just heard from the governor, Phil Ritter, and before that we heard from the mayor of Denver, Mayor Hickenlooper, as well as the mayor of Golden. So everybody here is pretty excited right now. It's a pretty interesting place to be at.
How many people are there, Andrew, would you say?
You know, I'm going to say there's probably just a little bit over 2,000 people. The bleachers straight across from us are completely full. It has seating on the basketball floor, and that's pretty well packed. It's standing room only, but the aisles are still clear.
So, but the capacity is around 3,000. So it sounds like it's filled pretty much to the rafters to me. But hey, I'm not there.
It's still pretty much the rafters, but you know, they're trying to keep the aisleways clear.
Well, thank goodness for that and fire regulations, Andrew, as you no doubt noted. When are they expecting him to speak on time at 9:30-ish?
You know, I haven't heard from anybody about whether he'll be on time or not. We're looking at about 9:10 right now, and so I would suspect that he would be right on time.
And the crowd seems fired up, as I can hear in the background.
The crowd is definitely fired up. At times, they've been popping their feet on the bleachers, and it's quite a racket in here.
It sounds it. Well, listen, we may not get a chance to check in with you before the speech. We'll try, perhaps, in between 20 and 30. But if we can't reach you, we'll know you're busy. So thank you very much, Andrew. And we might check in with you tomorrow for your response to what the speech was like. And my microphone just fell off its case into my lap. How interesting. Well, thank you very much, Andrew. I really appreciate your time and your help. And look forward to hearing from you soon.
All right. Thank you very much, Aaron.
Thank you. Andrew Ferguson, live from Golden and the Colorado School of Mines, to bring us up to date on the Barack Obama speech, which is coming right up. Meantime, much has been said about Barack Obama's preacher, right-wing Reverend Wright, but not much has been said about the kinds of people whom Sarah Palin has been listening to, or the kinds of remarks that she's made about religion. And so I turn to my expert on the separation of church and state, who has taught religion and politics, as well as being the senior rabbi at Temple Dehersh Sinai, which, full disclosure, I attend. Rabbi Daniel Wiener, thank you for taking time to talk to us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. It's a fun show. Really busy. Let me just go back, because she has had several controversial remarks. Her pastor has been somebody who just drove by her Wasilla Church that she attended often, the Assembly of God Church that she attended, which says that the Iraq War is still a war from God. I got this from a blog, that sign is still up. She has used that phrase in and of herself. In your mind, has Vice President, candidate for Vice President, let's just broaden the question and be fair. Have any of them crossed the line between separation of church and state, do you think?
I think there's definitely some potential there, not so much in actual policy yet, because there really hasn't been that much, but just the comments that she's made, the things that have made it onto the internet, and knowing what her church, what its ideology is, I have some real concerns, as do many people, as to how she will be able to lead and represent all citizens of the United States when she has views that are rooted in such extremist ideology.
And what in your mind is extremist about the ideology?
I just think the notion that if you reach deep down in your gut and you make a oftentimes impulsive decision and feel that that decision or that policy or that agenda is backed by God, is the realization of the will of God, that's very problematic, especially, it's problematic in any situation, but especially in the United States of America.
Well, I think because our country is founded that there, as you have quoted in writings, Article 6 of the Constitution says no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust in the, under the United States. And yet, under George W. Bush in particular, we have seen the conflation of church and state, I think, all too often. And even his own father's advisors, such as Brent Scowcroft, has said that Bush's religion did matter in terms of the decision to invade Iraq and in terms of the policies that he has pursued, which I don't personally want to see a repeat of. Do you see possible trouble on that score in terms of him and her or him? Because she could very conceivably become president of the United States. I mean, I don't wish John McCain any ill at all, but he has had cancer four times, and he is 72. So I think we have to think about her as president, don't we? Even though people say vice presidents don't matter, quote unquote.
Until Cheney, of course. But
yes, well.
I think those are some legitimate concerns. And I'm also very concerned that one of the things that has made the rounds in the media is a sermon by a Messianic Hebrew who came to her congregation and basically blamed terrorism against Israelis on their unwillingness to accept Jesus as their savior.
Oh, dear.
That's where we really begin to get into some
possible anti-Semitism being...
But not just anti-Semitism, I mean, disturbing as enough as that is.
Yeah.
Just the notion that foreign policy observations and foreign policy decisions are rooted in one person's perceptions of biblical text and tradition. That's hugely problematic. I want someone who's going to be looking at the world and understanding it, talking to advisors, not reading a 3,000-year-old text like tea leaves and trying to understand what to do in the Middle East.
Very good point. And certainly saying that it's all their fault, you know, all their fault. And oh, my goodness. Well, and her preacher, one of her preachers, her former pastor, I believe, Ed Kalnins, has been quoted as saying that critics of Bush will be banished to hell. Now, I'm a critic of Bush. I guess that means I'm going to hell, but it doesn't make me very comfortable having somebody who's been infused with that kind of logic talking to me.
No, absolutely. And I think, listen, turnabout is not only fair play, but necessary when it comes to the highest office in the land. And Jeremiah Wright said some things that were of concern, and we all needed to hear that Obama, you know, felt that was over the line. I think absolutely the same kinds of things should be asked of Sarah Palin by someone, you know, God willing, other than Sean Hannity, who will press her and say, you know, these things were said in your church when you were in the pews 4 weeks ago. Is this your worldview? Do you ascribe to this worldview, or do you, you know, repudiate that stuff?
So it was only 4 weeks ago that things like this were said?
August 17th, she was sitting in the pews
goodness.
When this Messianic Hebrew preacher got up and said amongst the very disturbing things, and I'm not even going into some of the others, but amongst them the notion that Israeli civilians deserved their victimization at the hands of Palestinian terrorists because they had refused to accept Jesus.
And yet out loud to Charlie Gibson, she's saying, but we can't disturb what Israel wants to do, Charlie. I'm sorry, that was mean.
Those are talking points. I mean, that was,
and they're scripted talking points.
Oh,
she
absolutely.
Has, it's
absolutely.
Been pull the string. So I got, and she's listening to this kind of logic. Now, why is it, do you think, I mean, I'm not going to necessarily evoke Saturday Night Live and grow a pair, although I just did, but why is the meat, that was the funniest, wasn't that the best Saturday Night Live skit you have seen? In ages.
Yeah, it was dead on.
It was so funny on both their sides.
Yeah.
But I have to say that I worry about the media because I read pretty widely, and I had missed the Messianic Hebrew going and speaking at her church and saying this. I'm not seeing her former preachers paraded. I have to, even when I Google it, no articles come up immediately, only blogs.
Yeah.
I checked. I said Sarah Palin and her preachers. And then I did Sarah Palin's views on religion. And it doesn't come up very easily at all in terms of what she really said, when and where. Goodness.
Well, you know, I think a militant black preacher is going to be more conspicuously examined than some of Sarah Palin's ministers. And that's what that's what it's come down to, I think.
Is this religious? Is this bigotry? Is infusing this? Probably.
I
have to infer it, don't you?
I think there's more of a concern about a militant black cleric getting up and criticizing the United States than a small town white preacher in small town America making certain suppositions that unfortunately are fairly widespread.
Well, I am reading it. I just Googled again, and I must have mistyped or something before, because some stuff is coming up on Huffington Post and a little bit on CNN now about some of her world views and how they may pertain to that. But this is pretty scary if people like that, no mention again of that Messianic Hebrew whom you're talking about. There are some quotes from her in Kalnins. So what should we have an eye out for? Should we demand that our press? How do we influence this? How do we get our questions answered, Rabbi Wiener?
Listen, I think, Amy Poehler doing Hillary Clinton wasn't off base. I mean, the notion that the press needs to get past whatever spin machine the Republicans are producing, saying that any questioning of her is somehow sexism. I think they need to, and not necessarily to dig, scurrilously deep into, what Bristol is doing, but I think it's better served by focusing on her worldview and focusing on what the ideology of this church that she is a devout adherent to. What's the ideology of this church? And I think they need to ask her these questions and say, look, for most Americans, these would be personal, faith positions, but. You're going to be potentially president of the United States. You need to clarify your views on these things and how you feel that these ideals would affect your policy, because the things you've been saying seem to really blur the line between personal faith, private conviction, and public policy.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Daniel Wiener. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much for your time this morning. I've just gotten word in my ear that we're going to the speech fairly shortly. So thank you very much, Rabbi Daniel Wiener of Temple to Hersh Sinai, senior rabbi and teacher of religion and politics. Thanks as always.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Aaron Hart on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. It's 9:19. I have to go to a break, and I have to figure out how to screw this microphone back on this thing. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's 303-713-7600. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls after this traffic break with John Turk. Coming up next, it's 9:19. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Thank you for joining us. I do know that Sarah Palin has troubled the Jewish community. She troubles me as part of the Jewish community, but I had not heard about that Hebrew saying it was, the Israelis' fault for not converting to Christianity or believing in Jesus. That's pretty scary. Somebody needs to ask her, do you believe in that? Do you believe in all of this stuff? And thank you, Grego, for sending me some further backgrounders on it. I do appreciate it. I know that people are troubled by some of these evangelical, messianic kinds of churches, in part because they believe that they're the only way to the truth, and that's always dangerous, I think. Bill in Longmont, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. As we wait for Barack Obama's speech, which isn't quite yet. Go ahead.
All right, go ahead. Another bill from Longmont at the beginning of last hour talked about people in Boulder and Longmont needing to get out and go door to door, and he didn't get to give you, or he didn't have the phone number to give you.
He did not.
Phone number for the Boulder County Democratic Party. Grab your pencils. 303. 442-3423.
Okay,
call
3423.
Them, or visit the Obama offices in the 1800 block of Pearl in Boulder,
mm-hmm.
South side of Pearl, or east side of Main Street, 300 block of Main Street in downtown Longmont.
Yeah, I think I can't stress enough. We've got to get people out. We've got to get them registered to vote, and we have to do it now. Amen, brother.
And a good reason should have been provided to you by the caller, Scott from Colorado Springs, who reminded me of Archie Bunker singing, "Mister, We Could Use a Man Like Herbert Hoover Again."
but I just figured out why often certain kinds of conservative males interrupt female talk show hosts a lot. And I think it's because we either remind them of a sister or a mother or a wife who's, I mean, I knew this, but, you know, I never heard it so clearly that when he swore at me and yelled at me.
You were supposed to be subservient. And staying at home, hostess and broodmare.
And being nice to him. I was supposed to be nice and shut up when I'm being spoken to, and I just don't do that very well.
And keep your eyes lowered at all times.
Oh, yeah, well, forget that stuff.
Yeah, you know, people talk about the government should get out of the way. Remind me of a light bulb joke I heard one time. How many supply-side conservatives does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
None. If the government would just leave it alone, it would screw itself in. We are the government. There's not...
Hello?
Yeah.
And who's the first person you want to come to your house when there's a fire? I don't care if it's the government or the fire department, but I prefer it to be professional firefighters as well as volunteer ones. But while the guys are volunteering for the firefighters, I want them to be able to help me when my house burns down to rebuild it. Hello? And I want loans guaranteed by the government. Thank you very much.
That's the reason that the words "we the people" are in the biggest print in the Constitution.
Yeah, and it's not "we the fundamentals" either. I wrote this morning in my notes, I said, "we the fundamentals of the United States." Give me your tired, your fundamentals, yearning to be free, and learning.
Yeah, and right there in the Constitution, we have the right to act through our government for redress of grievances, and that's why we ended up with regulations in the first place, is because self-government without self-discipline doesn't work.
Well said, Bill in Longmont. Thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too, and it is a great day when Obama's in Colorado and speaking, and we'll be tuning into that live from the Colorado School of Mines coming up shortly. Oakley in Fort Collins. We're waiting for Barack to start, basically. Oakley in Fort Collins, welcome, and thank you for joining us on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Thank you. Great words, Bill.
Excellent.
I heard earlier the exchange with Scott from Colorado Springs, and it's been on my mind, and he sounds a lot like my father, who religiously watches Fox News because he thinks it represents the America that he knew when he was a boy. But it makes me sad. It makes me sad, and I understand your frustration. But I have to tell a story. When I was young, I voted Republican because I believed in being frugal, and I thought they did too. I grew up an only child, but when I was 36, I met my half-sister for the first time.
Wow.
She was in New York. Her husband was the general counsel for the Dreyfus Fund.
Wow.
So she had come to meet me and had always wanted me to come see her, but I couldn't afford the plane ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I did drive up to see her on her very exclusive estate in Connecticut. And that night, we went out to dinner in her black Mercedes, and one of the things she said to me as we pulled up is, "I have more money than I will ever need in my lifetime." And I thought, well, how great for you, but that proclamation to me let me know that she didn't have a clue about my life. Later on, her husband didn't have much to do with me because I was beneath him, but later on, she shared with me the fact that he had arranged dual citizenship for him, and they were working on it for their son because he knew that America was going to tank. And when it did tank, they wanted to be able to cash out all their multi-million-dollar estates, properties that they had. Maybe they would visit once a year, maybe not at all. And by declaring their German citizenship, they would be able to avoid paying taxes to America. So they made all this money off of the goodness of America, but they weren't willing to pay the taxes, and they always were bemoaning their taxes. But as I realized, their taxes never held them back from buying the most outlandish properties and furnishing them to the nth degree.
So could your point, would you please?
Well, the point is, that's the way the Republicans feel, and that Scott...
Yeah.
They laugh at people like Scott.
That's what I was trying to tell them. They think of them as stupid cannon fodder.
That they're falling for this system that has been put together to really make the wealthy wealthier and make us poverty-ridden. They really don't care about us. They don't believe in God. but they are using the system. They have created a system that these people will buy into. And I'm saying, Scott, I understand where you're coming from. My dad feels the same way. But you know what? I have not voted Democrat since this realization came to me about how those people, and I'm talking generally now because she represents the highest, what, 1%, one-tenth of 1%? I don't know. But that's how they truly feel about you, Scott. They don't care, and you're a joke to them.
Yep. I couldn't agree with you more, Oakley. You well said, and thank you for that story. It very much illustrates that. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. Gwen in Erie, I'm going to squeeze you in before we have to jump for traffic with John Turk. Hi.
Hi.
Gwen?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Welcome,
Hi.
And thank you for joining us on Jay's show.
Thanks for taking my call. I first want to tell the audience I just saw a Barack Obama rally down in Pueblo yesterday, so I'm really fired up. And I haven't
been... And ready to go?
Yes, I am. And I want everyone to know that I haven't been politically involved and I haven't volunteered, so I'm not someone who's highly entrenched in the Obama message, but I have become in the last 24 hours. And the point that I wanted to bring forth is I'm absolutely perplexed. Right before the Democratic National Convention, it might have been right before or right at the beginning of, I, with my own eyes, saw television footage of McCain at a town hall meeting. It was a very small affair where there two very concerning things came to me, and I'll go with the biggest one first. An older woman stood up and said, she kind of outlined his foreign policy goals, and she sort of outlined his path that he would likely take if he were indeed given the honor of president. And then at the end of this, she says, it seems to me with what you have planned and what you've outlined, there's no way possible that we have a military means to do this. Wouldn't it be mandatory that we bring back the draft? His response,
yep.
My own ears, my own eyes, no blog, no reading it somewhere, my eyes. He says, and I quote, I can't disagree with anything you've said. And then he repeated it a second time.
Yep, I remember this.
My question is this. God, isn't that the October surprise and the deal breaker of all times? Every mom, every grandmom, every future mom and grandmom, regardless of party affiliation, this would be the deal breaker.
Yeah, exactly.
Why isn't that on mainstream media? Why doesn't Barack Obama's campaign pick that up? Who do I go talk to say, you know, it's footage of McCain's actual words?
Yeah, I saw it, and I literally sat up. Thank you for reminding me. You know, we're being hit by so much information in this election. It's hard to keep up. I would call Barack Obama's office and see what they do with it. Call him now. Can't hurt. 9:32. I'm Erin Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. Greg O., you are the best correspondent a woman could ever possibly have. I thank you for it. I'll be right back on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. And we're standing by for Barack Obama's speech coming up in Golden shortly. Don't miss a thing. It's John Turk with traffic coming up next. My mic just came off again. This is great. Hi, this is Erin Hart on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. I'll just stand here and hold it. Mark in Boulder, welcome and thank you for joining us on AM 760 Progressive Talk. No price is too big to pay to talk to you all.
Hi there.
It's 9:36. Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Erin?
I am well.
I got the DVD called Obsession in the Boulder Daily Camera on Sunday.
Oh, you got in the Daily Camera, too?
Yeah. And
what warthogs to want money that badly?
I did watch it. It's put out by the Clarion Fund. It's a true piece of propaganda. It basically, the message of it is there's a billion Muslims that hate us and hate America. And
not true.
And they hate the Jews. Well, they say there's a few Muslims that like us out there. But the real message in it is that the U.S. press has asked the question after 9/11, you know, what about our foreign policy was wrong that led to this, and that we shouldn't think that way, that we shouldn't, there's nothing in the DVD that mentions our great failure in Iraq and how that's helped to embolden the enemy, in the words of
Joe Biden. Of course, or strengthen Iran's hand and radical Shiite propaganda as well. That's ridiculous. Radical Shiite actions as well. That's craziness. Well, it's obviously not fair and balanced. I don't know who the Clarion Fund is, but I'll do some research on them tonight.
And yeah, I guess you can. They have a website you can go to. It's called obsessionmovie.com.
And I can see snippets of it at least, because I'm not going to go out and buy it.
I'm sorry.
I love you guys, but I'm not buying it.
It's it condemns Michael Moore for statements he made about terrorism, you know, not being widespread, but no terrorist attacks will happen. It equates the Muslim world to Hitler and the Third Reich during Nazi Germany, and how we have to approach this situation the same way, and conquering the hatred in the Muslim world.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even mention anything that we've possibly done to fuel the fire here.
Yeah.
So it is real. It's basically fear-mongering is what it is.
Well, and here's the fear-mongering. You know, in terms of Sarah Palin's viewpoints, too, it scares me that we have somebody that's listening to somebody like the head of Jews for Jesus and saying, oh, yeah, you know, it's their fault. It's just really, really scary. I mean, the Jewish community, by the way, is apparently up in arms about Brickner's appearance at her church. And I am, you know, and they are also upset with her. I would remember this. Robert Wexler, a Florida representative who I love, has attacked Palin for appearing at a 1999 event with Pat Buchanan. I mean, all of this stuff ties in together, this religious bigotry against Jews, against Muslims, against a number of people. I want her to answer some questions, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think they need to put her through the same sort of scrutiny they did Barack Obama. You know, she's a member of a secessionist church. I mean, you know, she's a member of this Alaska Independence Organization.
Well, she wasn't a member. Her husband was up until, I think, 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, that's just, I think it was her husband. But even still, can you imagine if Michelle Obama had been a member of a black separatist group, a Return to Africa group?
Oh, yeah. I mean, talk about unpatriotic.
Please.
I mean, it's one thing if your minister says something that you don't agree with. But, I mean, this is, if her husband's a member of that organization, that really points to a real anti-American agenda.
It certainly does. Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. Let's go to RZ in Denver as we count down to Obama's speech live from Golden, coming up right here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. RZ, welcome.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I am swell, RZ. You?
I'm blessed to be alive.
Excellent man.
I wanted to ask a question. I call in from time to time and talk to Jay. This is my first time talking to you.
Yes.
You know, I do something quite a bit here, and I think this is something we maybe need to get back to as Americans. They've taken everything out of the schools. On the computer, everyone seems to have one today. Pull up Red Skeletons, the Pledge of Allegiance. Somebody needs to play this to the people of the United States almost on a daily basis, so we can quit falling for the trap that this is about George Bush and the government is doing this and the government is not letting us do this. This is our country.
Yeah, it is.
When are we going to understand that if we sit back, they do anything to you? But if you get out here and get involved, I mean, quit accepting anything that someone will tell you.
And stay informed, because I need to be more informed, too. Every single day I find out something I don't know. Good points, RZ. I appreciate them. Thank you so much for your call.
All right, but if you get a chance, pull that up and
Red
listen
Skeletons.
To it.
I'll give it
the
a try.
Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah, I listen.
I'm sorry, the Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the, yeah, I understand,
okay.
To the flag of the United States of America. I gotcha.
Thank you very much. Thanks, huh?
You bet. Patty in Colorado Springs, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate your time. Go for it, dude.
Well, I just want you to know not everybody's like Scott that lives down here.
You mean in Colorado Springs? Goodness, imagine
yeah.
my relief, because I love going to Garden of the Gods.
Well, I'll tell you what, my roommate went to the rally yesterday.
Ooh, in Pueblo?
In Pueblo, and she sat behind the stage behind Barack, and after the rally she shook his hand, which was a pretty big thing.
Wow.
But this morning she was taking her dogs to the Garden of the Gods, and she had a local radio station on, and they ran another one of those incredibly lie-filled ads for McCain.
Ugh.
Well, she ended up calling the radio station, informing them that, one, she'd never listen to their station again, and two, she wouldn't buy anything that was advertised on their station. The point being that I drive a cab. I just drove through the neighborhood. I saw four Obama lawn signs on. Out. Okay? It's like people have been living in fear for the last 8 years down here, and all of a sudden, people are realizing there are a lot of us that aren't going along with the status quo and are willing to stand up and tell our neighbors, guess what? Enough is enough.
Yep, and enough is enough is so true, and I hope to hear that come out of his mouth today, too. I just really look forward to what Barack Obama has to say about our financial crisis. I'm not glad we have a financial crisis. I think it's terrible. But part of the reason, as we learned earlier from Linda Bilmes, the author of the $3 trillion war.org, if you want to check it out, this is caused by a number of things. It's not just unrepentant greed of the corporations, although that has a lot to do with it. It's about deregulation. It's about the policies of almost 20 years of having the right-wing Republicans in charge. It started under Reagan, who began to deregulate everything that moved. And you know what? I want a little regulation goes a long way, but we need it. It's 9:44. We're going to jump to a traffic break while we can get one in. We're standing by for Barack Obama live in Golden on the Aaron Hart version of the J. Marvin Show on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
I can change the world with my own.
Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Mario just wrote me that he wants to make sure the comedian was referring to as Red Skeleton. I said Red Skeleton, and his name is Red Skelton. I thought he meant to Google Red Skeletons to call up the Pledge of Allegiance. Anyway, that shows you what happens when you mishear or mislisten or something. Anyway, Keith and Evergreen, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning. Oops. All right, let's go to Adam in Buena Vista, or as John Turk puts it, BV. I love Buena Vista, by the way, and I refuse to call it Buena Vista. Sorry.
Hello?
Adam?
Hey,
how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm well.
I'm doing fine. My main question is, I'm sorry, I'm just moved here to Colorado, and I just crossed your radio. So, 3 minutes ago. I don't understand if
You're cutting out a little. Could you talk more directly into your microphone on your phone, please?
Okay, sorry about that.
That's
my
okay.
issue is, why won't Obama go to these town hall meetings and debate with McCain, even though McCain's asked him about 10 times?
Because it's a good ploy for McCain, because McCain does much, much better at town halls. And Barack Obama does better with large stadium crowds. So each candidate wants to stick to his strength. And he shouldn't just do stuff because McCain wants him to. But I will tell you this. If I were his campaign manager, Adam, even though he's already said no, I'll say, fine, let's go to one. And you can't bring Sarah Palin to beef up your side of the fence. You know what I mean? I would set out two or three, maybe. But they're having three debates coming up. And I think the time to do the town halls has passed. But I see no reason why Barack Obama should give up his strength just to cater to John McCain's.
Okay. Well, the only reason I ask is because it seems that he does really well with speaking, and I like the way he does his speeches. But it seems when it comes to just having to pull something out, and just like when being asked like from an interviewer's point of view, mm-hmm. it seems like he struggles and he has to go into these long statements.
He's still too much of a lawyer, and they know that. He's trained as a constitutional law professor, and sometimes he still sounds like one, Adam. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the reason. I mean, if you want folksy, I guess you go for George Bush and Sarah Palin. If you want a brain in his head who gives maybe complicated, in-depth answers, who I think understands the economy infinitely better than John McCain does, then I would go for Barack Obama. You know, I agree with you, though. I wish they had agreed to do one or two just to shut the guy up. And it would have been another way of piercing the Palin bubble. You know, if those had already naturally been in the works, that would have been another great way of piercing the Palin bubble.
Okay.
But on the other hand, I don't see, again, why he should cater to McCain's strength as opposed to his own.
Well, the only reason that is because I remember the Palin interview on ABC, and I just see that there's so many misquotes on what she had to say. She was talking about the religious issue of what she said with the going with the soldiers. And in reality, when you look at what she actually said in the manuscript, she said, "I hope I'm doing God's will." And that we're not
she
doing
said that
God's
in the interview. She didn't say that at church. There are video clips. Google Sarah Palin. Look it up. At her church, she said, "This is God's war." So
yeah,
she has said stuff like that before, and so has her pastor in her church.
Well, I understand that, but what I'm saying, when you look at it, all she's saying is in her church, in her religion, with her son going to war, is that she's just saying, you know, I hope we're doing what God said. I hope God's with our soldiers, which I believe is perfectly fine.
She bastardized the quote. She bastardized the quote by Lincoln. And I, again, because she believes in the literal truth of the Bible, and she believes she does not believe in evolution. She believes that the earth is 5,000 years old and that man walked with Satan and dinosaurs. I need to know from her just where her commitment to the Bible ends and her commitment to our Constitution begins. I really do need to know that. I really, really do as a citizen. And you know what? I still wouldn't vote for her anyway because she doesn't believe I'm a person. So capable of making up my own mind about my own reproductive choices, even if I'm raped or incested. And you know what? As long as she believes those kinds of things, I couldn't vote for her on a cold day in heaven, much less one in hell.
Okay, well, I mean, the whole point of what she's trying to do, though, is go and take it to the state level. The state can make a decision if they want to...
I don't care what her. I don't care what her point is. I don't care what her point is. I do not like the way she inculcates and infuses her governmental beliefs with religious practice. I do not like it. I will not vote for it. And I wouldn't vote for her if she was a man either. So I wouldn't want to vote for Dick Cheney. I wouldn't want to vote for anybody who keeps secrets from the government. I would not want to vote for anyone who doesn't believe in equal pay for women. I don't want to vote for anybody who talks in okey-dokes and doesn't understand policy. I don't want to vote for anybody who doesn't understand the Bush Doctrine and she's a right-wing Republican. I don't want to vote for her. I never will.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time. One last thing. I just hope that y'all keep talking about Palin and stop talking and not talking about McCain, because obviously, since he's the president candidate versus Obama, and y'all keep talking about Palin.
I'm happy to. Oh no, no, no. I'm absolutely happy to talk about John McCain, who wants to extend the war, who votes against veterans' benefits, whose health plan is worse than Obama's, even by the lights of the Wall Street Journal. I'm absolutely happy to talk about John McCain, and I have been all day. I can't vote for him either because he doesn't think of me as a person.
Well, I mean, that's just all I'm getting to about it is that everyone. I just keep hearing Democrats talking about Palin. But McCain is the candidate.
Because he's boring. Because McCain is kind of boring, and he's betrayed his principles, and we all feel slightly disappointed and dirty watching him grovel for the election.
Well, I'm just saying, when it comes down to the election, and we start voting, we're voting for McCain versus Obama, not.
And I'm voting for Barack Obama happily, cheerfully, and running, skipping to the ballot box, to the mailbox, to mail in my absentee ballot. I'll be so happy to vote for Barack Obama and Joe Biden. I will feel pleased, proud, and enlightened and enlivened.
All right. Well, thank you very much for taking my call. You have a great day.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'm Erin Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Thank you all for joining me this morning. Thank you. I would love to, and thank you, Michael, for encouraging people to give me more airtime. I appreciate it. Now, the reality is, he says he listens to Ed Schultz and Randy Rhodes and Jay Marvin, and he likes me too. Good. Good taste. Brother. Okay, I'm Erin Hart, and I would love to talk to you, and we are certainly waiting on line two for Barack Obama to begin his speech in Golden. John, if we got a minute, let's call Andrew again. He might be there and know when the speech is going to start. That may be the way we hear, too, although I know we've got people poised there live to carry the sound for you right here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, one of Daryl Luby's many hats that he wears, running the operation director as director of operation for the cluster. I know Daryl from the day, and he's a great guy, and I'm sure he has a hand in setting up our remotes today from Golden. Unless he's on vacay, I don't necessarily know whether he is or not. But anyway, I'm sure he is. I'm Erin Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. And we'll try to check in with Andrew if we can. Meanwhile, I will also catch you up with your emails because I have neglected those a bit as we stand by for this particular speech. Here we go. Hi, when you were here a few weeks ago, I messaged you about Obama's electability. I suggested Hillary would have been a better candidate. You criticized me for the comment. Now he is losing. Do you feel the same way? No, Thomas. I still think he's the better candidate. I still think he has a better chance of beating Barack Obama. And I think John McCain would have picked Sarah Palin anyway. Nash, and okay, hi, Andrew. Welcome. Thank you for joining us, and I'll catch you up with your instant messages tomorrow. Hi, Andrew. What's going on?
You know, not a whole lot right now. We've been waiting for Barack Obama for about the last almost half an hour now.
Yes.
They brought on the former mayor of Denver to give sort of like a fill-in speech, but that was almost 20 minutes ago.
Federico Peña. Right. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, people are just biding their time. It's, you know, talking and murmuring. Not a whole lot's going on right now. There's some people on stage making some last-minute adjustments to the teleprompter. So, you know, hopefully we'll see Barack Obama here pretty soon.
I hope he's not. He may be writing his speech in the car. I hope it's a new one. All right, here's the other thing I want to ask you. What is the general sense of the crowd? Are they positive about the election and Barack's Obama's electability, or are they nervous and worried about McCain-Palin?
You know, I definitely think that they are very excited about Barack Obama, and I think that they find him to be very electable. You know, part of that, though, is, you know, obviously this is a event targeted at Barack supporters.
Sure.
But everybody here seems to be very in very good spirits.
You still there? All right. I think your cell phone's starting to cut out. Andrew Ferguson, thanks again. We may check in with you tomorrow again just to get a recap of your idea of the speech. I promise not to call you too early. I know you're in college. I'll write you later to set up a time that's convenient for your classes, too. Thanks for your call. Thank you to Andrew Ferguson. Thanks to Rabbi Daniel Wiener, Senior Rabbi of Temple to Hurst Sinai. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to Linda Bilmes, the author of The $3 Trillion War. Don't forget to go to $3TrillionWar.org. For John Turk, I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on The J. Marvin Show. I may be back with you briefly to introduce Barack Obama right after the news on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Stand by for the big speech on financial security coming up. We'll